Good morning, everybody. I'm really excited to be here, and thank you all for your warm welcome. It's my first time here and also my first time preaching in English, so hopefully this will go well. We've read a text about the shepherd and the sheep, and this metaphor is in the Bible very we can find it very often, but it's not my favorite metaphor because it kind of evokes the idea of people being just silly sheep and just following someone and without their own brains, without thinking where to go. It's not always easy for me to think about the Lord and people as a shepherd and sheep. How are we to be the sheep? But when we read this particular text from John 10, we can find various images, not just between the sheep and the shepherd, the flock of sheep. I think that the life of a church is precisely about finding a balance between these images. This chapter 10, it seems like it contains one parable, but in fact it contains two separate parables. At first reading, they seem very similar, and they even merge into one. We think about this, it's this parable in John chapter 10 about the shepherd and the sheep. But there are two separate parables, and each of them goes in a different direction. I'll summarize first the second part, the second parable, because I'm not going to talk about this today. It is a contrast between the shepherd who does not leave the sheep in danger because he loves them, and on the other hand, there's this hired hand who runs away from the wolf to save his own life and leaves the sheep to the wolf because he only cares about himself to be saved. And here Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So everyone who I'm the good shepherd, and you can know it because I love you and I care about you. And anyone who doesn't love you and who doesn't care about you and comes to you, follow me, is this hired hand, and you cannot rely on him because when it comes to danger, he just runs away. So this is a clear metaphor. But then there is this first part, and there we can find a different contrast. There's the shepherd, again, who enters through the door because everyone there knows him and opens for him. and then he takes the sheep and leads them to the pasture through that door again, and the sheep follow him willingly. They leave their home freely because they know him and they trust him. And on the other hand, we have not a hired hand, but thieves and robbers who we can recognize them by the fact that they don't enter the door, they don't go through the door, because no one knows them, nobody would open for them, nobody would let them in. And they try to enter unobserved and enter among the sheep, and take some of them for themselves because they are thieves and robbers and they just want to gain something for themselves and destroy the flock. And in this parable, Jesus doesn't say he's the good shepherd. He says, I am the door. So we have to think in this parable, who is the shepherd and who is the robber, if Jesus says, I'm the door. We can look for the key to this question in the previous chapter, chapter 9. It is about healing the blind man, and the leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, are those who are supposed to be shepherds, and they are, in this chapter, they are described as blind. And in the Bible, we can find the image of a shepherd and shepherd ministry used in multiple meanings. For example, in some Psalms or in the mainly in the Old Testament, the Lord himself is the shepherd of his people. And Jesus also says, I am the good shepherd. But Jesus also says to Peter, feed my sheep. So ministers in the church are also shepherds. There is also this metaphor of shepherds. The word pastor, as you probably know, means the shepherd. These shepherds or pastors are to lead, feed people with the word, and take care of them. And in this parable, even the sheep have a task. They have to recognize the voice of the true shepherd and follow him. So they have to know who is the true shepherd and who is the robber or a thief. They have the task of judging this person if he is a good shepherd. But how do they do it? What are the criteria? In this parable, we can find the only criterion. The only difference between, or not the only one, but the main difference described in this parable between the shepherd and the thief is that the shepherd comes through the door and the thief comes, he has to find another way. And also, the shepherd leads the sheep to the pasture through this same door. And we know that this door is Christ. So the shepherd comes through Christ and leads the flock to Christ. And every sheep should ask, does this shepherd lead me to Christ? Does this pastor lead me to Christ? Is his motivation the love of Christ? If so, I can go to him. If not, he is not a shepherd. But there is this big but. Judging is a very popular human activity. So if you say that the sheep's task is to judge, they will be very happy and have a lot of judging in mind. So we have to stick to what is written here, and also this image protects us from what we are not supposed to judge. We are not supposed to to think whether we like this pastor or whether they have exactly the same opinions as me, whether I enjoy their preaching, whether he is funny, or whether they fulfill all my needs, because a human shepherd can never fulfill all your needs. And so on. There are these all these things that we like to judge, that we like to say, oh, this pastor is this, or it's he is that, and I like him or I don't like him. Jesus says, I'm the door, and he doesn't say that any particular teaching is the door or anything else is the door. Just Jesus says, I am the door. I'm the only thing that matters. So that means that a good shepherd, good pastor, leads you to me, leads you to Christ. That also means, this image also has another point, that the shepherd gives the sheep freedom. He leads the flock through the door, which means he leads them to a good pasture, to a good place, but then it's up to them to find the grass, to feed themselves, to be active. And the shepherd does not control the sheep and move them. They move themselves. They are free in this good pastry, good big space. They are free to go and find the grass they like. So a good shepherd also gives the sheep the freedom. He doesn't keep them inside the pen. And there's another problem, and this problem is that the Holy Spirit doesn't do it like this. He does not distribute his gifts in the church in such a way that he takes the bucket of gifts and during the ordination he pours them on the pastor. It doesn't happen like this. We know that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to everyone. Everyone in the church, everyone in the flock gets something. I already said that the pastor, unlike Christ, doesn't have endless time, endless energy, and other inner resources to fulfill everyone's needs. And moreover, in Christianity, the pastor does not stand higher than others. He is not some Superman, and the others are just ordinary people. The pastor is one of them, one of the people. And we all form a community. We all bring to it, and we all draw from it. And we all have some part of responsibility for others. And we also, every one of us, do part of the shepherding ministry. Because the shepherd, actually, the image means that it's someone who serves others in the church. It's someone who co-creates the church, who co-creates the environment. So at the same time, we are all shepherds to someone at some moments, and we are all the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd of us all, as we can see in the second parable. So this dynamics between shepherds and sheep goes in different directions, and the different images complete the whole. Life in the church is about finding balance, because this dynamic of shepherd-sheep relationships is ever-changing. Nobody is always only a pastor. Even the pastor of the church, the minister of the church, is also a sheep. And it may happen that someone goes through a period of life when it is difficult and he mainly needs care. But this period of life should not last forever. He should also become a pastor, maybe to someone else, maybe some other time. And nobody can say precisely, now you are sheep, now you are pastor. It is very variable. And this image of church as a fellowship of shepherd-sheep relationships also shows well some of the reasons why the church sometimes doesn't work as it should. And I will try to name some of the reasons, and I'm sure that you can come up with others, that there are some other temptations that we face. The first reason is dependence. Sometimes a person can be so dependent on a church that should meet his needs, whether material, emotional, spiritual. When this doesn't happen, my whole world will collapse because I lost the church that should fulfill all my needs. And I start to blame the church, the pastor, for failing, and it's your fault, his fault, that I am not satisfied. This is the situation when I am always a sheep and I don't take any responsibility for my life. So this is one temptation. The other temptation is opposite, is when I have the desire to control. This can happen directly through manipulation and some forced authority in the church. And this is exactly the situation when a shepherd prefers to keep his sheep inside the pen, so he has full control over their lives. And he doesn't lead them he comes through the door maybe, but he doesn't lead the flock through the door to the good pasture. He thinks that he can himself feed the sheep. But this desire to control can also happen in more subtle ways. For example, some people like to be needed so much that they don't want to lose this. And so when they look after someone, when they help someone, they keep them in a state of need and find it hard to bear when that person suddenly stands on their own 2 feet and is independent. So this is the opposite temptation, the desire to control, and on the opposite, the dependence on a church. I have a friend, a pastor in Slovakia, where I come from, and he once told me that the goal of church leadership is to lead all members to not need the church. And this is, of course, an exaggeration, but it aims precisely for a person to be able to live their faith without the support of his congregational social bubble. To learn to stand before God for their own, and thus to be able to support others as well. So a mature Christian is the one who lives his own life before God and takes the responsibility for his own life. Of course, we need the fellowship, but we have to be able to survive in the moments when we don't have one and not lose completely our faith in Jesus. So I would like to summarize this sermon like this. Your congregation now go through quite difficult times because you remained without the pastor. I hope it won't be very long time, but I think that this is also time for you to grow, because we are all called to be pastors to each other. And maybe you haven't thought about it, or you haven't found that pastoring part in you, and maybe this is the time when this can happen. And the purpose of shepherding is to help a person to maturity, to help each other to maturity, to his full humanity, to his full being, what God created, a man that God created. And also to a mature community. It will be great when a minister is found for you, but until this happens, you can work on and help each other to work on a mature community that does not break and that is not destroyed when there is no pastor, because you all can become pastors to one another. The mature community also give their members the freedom. They use the door, which is Christ. And the mature community is the community when we can all give and take, move away and come closer, be together and be alone at the same time. And I really wish you to be such a community. Amen. I am sorry, maybe because I don't know all of you, and I should have done this before my sermon, but I do it now. My name is Maria, and I minister in a church in Třeboň, which is in the south of the Czech Republic. And if you have any questions about me, I will be very happy to talk with you all after the ministry. And I am also bringing you greetings from my congregation in Třeboň. If you have any other questions, we can talk afterwards. And now I would like to invite you to a prayer time. Any one of you can pray a loud prayer, and then we will close it with the Lord's Prayer.